From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, a podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you joined us for episode number 118 of the podcast, also known as We've Got Spring Fever. Mm-hmm. Leah, it's good to be back with you again.
Good to be with you.
And I think what I said is kind of applicable. On the day we're recording this, now the day this comes out, the temperature's supposed to be back down, but the day we're recording this, it got to 72 degrees here in Western Kentucky. We don't live in Alabama anymore. We're in Western Kentucky. It was 72 today.
Yeah, I think it's going to be stormy, though, tomorrow.
Yeah, as we're recording. But yeah, yes. You know, hey, it's this time of year. You can't predict the weather at all. But we're going to kind of come back to that concept of spring fever in just a few moments. That was a little intro and tease for something we'll talk about in a few minutes. Several things going on in our lives. We went to the Dexter Youth Rally in Dexter, Missouri this past weekend, and that was a good time. We're actually going to talk about that again in a few minutes, too. We're recording with no kids in the house tonight.
Yep.
Spring break, sort of.
Right.
We homeschool, so we just chose spring break. But they're at your parents' house, enjoying some time with their other grandparents and one of their cousins, and so that's kind of neat.
We usually don't do a spring break.
Yes. We were talking, recording on Wednesday night. We were talking to somebody at services tonight and said, if we take a spring break, it's usually like a day. Right. We might take like a Friday or a Monday or something.
And they didn't either. She homeschools too.
Yeah.
So I've always felt kind of like a bad mom because I didn't. But, you know, things get so busy and you just start running out of time and days. And you look, to me, when it's March, you're thinking, okay, we've got April and May. I think we can do it.
Yeah, and not even all of May. Usually.
So if you don't take it at the very beginning, but this one was so that they could visit with my mom and dad and specifically our nephew coming in from Texas. So anyway, it made it. It wouldn't have happened if it was just us.
Yeah. Or at least it wouldn't have been a whole week. So,
right.
So lots of good things going on. Most of our busyness here lately has been things at church, good stuff. Construction continues, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be saying that until like 2023.
No,
it won't be that bad. But we're getting to the point, though, where people start going, hey, have you heard how long we're going to be? Like, it's going to be months. Stop asking.
Right.
But
all good things take time, though.
That's right. It's going to be nice. All right. We're going to jump right into the content. How about that? That sounds almost like we're an official podcast. My phone just buzzed. You shared something on Facebook. It's actually one of those things that's more of a picture with a long caption than it is an article, I guess you would say. But it's written from a homeschool perspective. It's from a page called Homeschool On. But if you're not a homeschooler, keep listening. This is not necessarily a homeschool article. It's more of a parenting,
right. Again,
not article, really more of a caption than anything else. But it's for moms, but again, this could be for parents in general. But it's on the new famous word, FOMO, which stands for
fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out. And the concept behind this article is, we've talked about this on the podcast many times. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this part of our, we have two things we're going to talk about tonight. We're not going to spend as much time on this one. But you shared this specifically, so I wanted to come back to it as a subject. Sometimes we look at families around us, at church, in our neighborhood, if you don't homeschool, just other kids that go to church, to school with your kids, and obviously social media, you see every other family, and you see what all these other families are doing, and sometimes two things happen. One is FOMO. You're afraid your kids aren't going to get, you know, to do X, Y, and Z, or really X, Y, and Z,
mm-hmm.
Or you start to think, we've got to do all of that stuff, but it's taking away from the way you really want your family to be.
Right.
Is that kind of why you shared this, just in general? And then we'll get some I can't talk tonight. This is not a good night to record. We'll get to some specific stuff that is said in the caption.
Yes, that's why. And actually, you know, we've talked a lot about busyness. I just think that's an epidemic problem with families now, truly. But I don't really know if we've talked a whole lot about that fear of missing out, because to me that's the root of it
I think we've talked around it a bunch of times.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever specifically, though, discussed how that is the thing. It's, oh, don't be so busy, you know, and you know, I've seen, you know, don't glorify busyness, you know, like it's something to be proud of. But I, you know, this, to me, this gets at the root, because I've had that feeling myself.
Well, I mean, why do you say it's kind of at the root? Is this fear of missing out? I mean,
I think that's why people stay so busy, is that they want their kids to be involved in so many things, and they feel like it's their obligation as parents to be, you know, making sure that their kids participate in so many different things and give them the opportunities, and that all sounds really good. Or even if it's for yourself, you know, you want to do this and do that and do this. I mean, I really struggle with that. And then,
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, I'm just thinking, I think a lot of times the root is that you're afraid of what's going to happen if you would have said, you know what, I know you want to be involved in, like you say, X, Y, and Z, but maybe we just need to pick one of those.
Yeah. And the last little sentence in this whole caption is, sometimes you have to say no.
Right.
And one of the things I wanted to come around to is, she's, I'm guessing it's a lady, because it's for moms,
mm-hmm.
Is writing from the concept of parenting, you know, momming, I guess. But in some ways, this goes back to the parents too. Like you said, sometimes we wear busyness, or we wear the fact that our family, our kids are so involved in everything, as you said, I loved your phrase, as a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much that it's bad. We say this in the podcast all the time, but I'm going to say it again. It's not bad that your kids want to play basketball or want to be in, you know, a little drama club, or want to be, you know, in a 4-H type of thing or whatever. It's not that the activities themselves are bad. It's that when we see what so many other families and so many other kids are doing and put that all together, and of course every kid wants to do everything, or mm-hmm. at least most kids want to just try everything, do everything. But sometimes, Leah, I think it becomes where we just keep adding stuff and we never subtract stuff. I think it's neat if a kid grows up and maybe they have tried 13, 14 different activities, but not all simultaneously. They may have tried Little League Baseball and not liked baseball. Well, you're going to stick it out. You're going to play it another season. No, they may just not like baseball. That's okay.
And I think it's good to let your children explore different, you know, activities to see what they might be good at or really enjoy. But kids are still going to be kids, and they're not going to be mature enough to say or to realize that, you know, you're not going to be able to do all of that and enjoy it all. You know, and honestly, I don't care to say this, even if the kid is, it's the parent's job. You know, part of what being too busy, what makes it so bad, I don't know if I can say this where it makes sense, but, you know, if you can manage getting your kids from here to there and it really doesn't bother you, then kudos to you. But what is your family missing out on?
Yeah. That's part of what she points out in this.
Right.
Is, you know, things like, you know, what are you giving up?
Right.
That should be more important to your family, and that can be different from family to family.
Right.
We're not trying to set the standard of what every family should be, but, you know, if your family has decided that X is important, but then being involved in everything just because you're scared your kids are going to miss out starts creeping in on X, whatever that is for your family,
mm-hmm.
you got a problem.
Right.
And just at a, you know, foundational level. But she gives just some thoughts about, again, mm-hmm. for moms, but I want us to take this, you know, just in general, specifically about why this is a problem. And I'm not going to go through all of them. She has five, and we're just going to go through a couple of these quickly. But a couple of them that I picked out is I thought they were just, you know, important for us to think about for any parent. One of them, she says, is, I want to give my kids the world, but if my mental sanity goes down because I can't cope, then we are not better off.
Yeah.
Now, again, that's written to moms, but I think just the overall concept there is true of any parent or anyone trying to help kids, grandparents or anyone else, that,
mm-hmm.
that if, yes, we want our kids to have the world, we want our kids to try everything that's good, you know, to know about things, to have experienced things, but Leah, parents only have so much mental bandwidth.
It's true.
And sometimes we and this is a bad term.
Some of us have less than others.
Well, this is a bad term, but sometimes we fry that mental bandwidth to the point, in her word, we can't cope. Well, that's just a sign of weakness. No, it's not. It's a sign of being human.
Right.
And our kids should not get to decide how much our mental bandwidth is fried.
Well, and you know, that's exactly, though, how you also turn your family culture into that, and then it's all about the kids. Like, they're what they want to do, and they're, you know, chauffeur, and it's up to you to rearrange schedules so that they can be in this and that. And last time I checked, that's a lot like your kids basically running the show. And that's okay to a point. It's just not okay if it's going against your better judgment of, or have you even thought to make a judgment on, you know, is this really good for us, or am I just going along with the flow because I feel like I have to?
The other one I want to talk about, and I want us to kind of change her word, not because it's bad, but to make it more applicable, not just to homeschool moms, okay? She says, I want to get out and be with my friends, but if I don't get any school done, there's the homeschool mom thing. If I don't get any school done because we are too busy, or yell at my kids because I'm overwhelmed or we're falling behind, I may need to pull back. Now, I want to make that one a little more general, because if you're not a homeschooling mom, that one, you know, kind of doesn't apply. I want to make it more general and just say there are activities that aren't bad, hanging out with friends, having a hobby, you name it, that aren't bad. They're good, that we need them from time to time. But if we have so many other things going on that our kids become the brunt of our frustration, we've got a problem.
Right.
And I think generally that's what she's saying. I don't want to read too much into it, but that's kind of the application I want us to make on our podcast from that. You know, the old saying is only 24 hours in a day. And sometimes, and, you know, I'm speaking from experience here, sometimes we get so many things going in our lives that aren't bad things that the tiniest little thing sets us off, and who do we often take it out on? Not in an abusive way necessarily, but just in a frustrated, mean way. Is usually our kids, or yeah, our wife and kids, or our husband and kids. But the kids sometimes are the easiest ones. And it may be, to go back to her example of homeschooling, yeah, you may be a little behind in homeschool. Or as another family who doesn't homeschool, you may be a little behind in whatever, working in the yard or something you'd like to do as a family. But that's not the kids' fault. The family has to work through that, and not take it out on the kids.
And I think generally what she's saying is that if you are so busy, the main thing, to me, the main thing about that is keep the first things first. Mm-hmm. Like in her, the point of that paragraph was her making sure school gets done because she's chosen to homeschool.
Right.
In your case, it might be, you know, whatever. Like, but I was trying to think of another example, but this is our life, so that's the one I'm thinking of. But if you are so busy that school is not getting done,
okay, let's use
then
example.
That does frustrate you.
Let's use an example. Maybe it's a family that volunteers in some civic organization on a regular basis.
Right.
But some of that stuff they have to bring home. Maybe it's some paperwork or something they have to bring home for that volunteering they do. Maybe that doesn't quite get done all the time.
Right.
But they take the frustration out of the kids sometimes.
Right.
That's not good.
Or like with me, with this, I've been guilty before of getting too involved in even things at church that were extra, but then I would feel stressed because it was taking time away from school, and then I would, you know, want the kids to get their work done quicker than maybe they were able to, and then just exactly what the paragraph there says, you know, that I would just be ill or whatever, and really, you know, it's hard to learn that lesson, but to choose to let that go and pull back and not do as much maybe at church, and I'm talking about the extra work, not necessarily participating with events and services and things like that, but you know what I'm saying, just being able to pull back and say, you know, I can't do that this season because it's making me too stressed and, you know, taking away from the most important thing. For her, at that point, it was her making sure she was doing school with her kids,
right,
instead of getting too busy in all the activities.
But often we get frustrated with the kids and even yell or snap at the kids, again, because we've let our mental bandwidth just be totally fried.
Right.
And the kids are right there. Even if you don't homeschool, your kids come home from school. And they're just right there. And sometimes, and again, we're not saying this in an abusive way, so I'm going to use a word here that could be taken that way. I don't mean it. But they become the target. Right. Yeah, they're just easy to yell at them or to snap at them over something that is not that big of a deal.
Kids naturally are going to be louder, and they're going to be fussing and fighting, the things that will bother us more.
Or they're just not going to do something in a way that we think it should be done. Not as quickly or not as well or not as neatly or something. Right. And because we're fried in other areas,
it's going to bother us more.
We just snap at them.
Right.
So I appreciate you sharing that. And I hope we've kind of taken the general thought of it and kind of adapted it out a little more generically, you know, from just homeschooling moms to this whole idea of, you know, the fear of missing out. And again, I love how she ends this little caption or little article, if you want to call it that. Sometimes you have to say no. And that's something that you and I, we'll be honest, you and I struggle with that. We like to do all kinds of good things. I mean, here we are doing a podcast, right? We like to do all kinds of good things and be involved in so many things, but no one can do everything and do them well. And no one can just keep going and going and going doing stuff and not just fall off a cliff emotionally or feel like they're just drowning in schedules and differences and frustrations.
But why do you think, I know I want to ask this before we move on, but why do you think it is so hard, though, for so many people? I feel like I know people that just, seriously, they thrive on how many things they can be doing. Is it because they really believe that that makes them a stronger person? Is it, or that they are they truly so much better than maybe the rest of us who are thinking, how do they do that?
I think there's a couple of things to that. And you and I have talked about this a little bit here and there, not on the podcast, but just, you know, off air. I guess our regular life. I think one thing, as we've said on this podcast many times, is we look at other people and all we see is their highlight reel. We don't see that there are things that they struggle with. It may look like they're doing everything, but somebody else comes in and cleans their house every week. Or someone else mows their yard. Or they really aren't as good at something, you know, as we might think they are. Or they literally cannot do something, but we don't see that. We just see where they do serve or do help or do excel. You know, the way they volunteer at church, the way they put stuff on social media. I'm not saying people are bad people at all. But I think sometimes we so focus on this person does this, this, and this, and this. And at least one of those things is something I can't do, so they're better than I am. Well, that's just not true, because you may be better at them than something. Or there may be something that, quote-unquote, they're good at, but maybe they're paying somebody else to do it. Or somebody else, you know, helps them with that particular part of their life. I think that's some of it. But I also just think we live in a culture that just rewards busyness. What we want so much to accomplish so many things that we will absolutely wear ourselves out to just say, I've checked off so many boxes, and I may not do all of them all that well, but I can just keep checking stuff off of to-do lists and say I've done this, you know, these 15 things today, and our culture somehow admires that.
No, I think for me as a mom, I mean, this is something maybe someone out there is struggling with this too, but I don't do things that are really that much out there. Nobody knows much of what I do. And that can be hard in our culture where, I mean, I have so much struggled with insecurities and not feeling valuable or productive, because when I look back and think about what I've done during the day, well, no one knows about it. And a lot of times you don't feel like you are doing that much. And then you know, open up your eyes and you see families that have their kids involved in this, or maybe they went on that trip and, you know, they are just so out there what it, you know, it appears to be. And then you struggle, or I do, with, you know, your life looking very bland, and maybe even on a spiritual level, you're thinking, what am I doing to really serve God? You know, what am I really doing? You know, for years, you know, I've wanted to do more than really what I feel like I'm doing. Just, you know, being here. And, you know, when we talk about, well, you're teaching the kids. But then so I say, well, so I see other people teaching their kids, but they're still able to do X, Y. We should teach algebra because we're using lots of letters in our examples. But, you know, you see all the things And I know it's true that maybe you don't see everything about their life, but there's just, I think we don't value just the basics of life that we used, I think as a society, there used to be value in a woman, you know, that she was willing to prepare dinner every night for her family. People don't value that anymore. And it's almost looked down on. Like, you know, you're wasting your time and your effort by doing that. Why don't you just do this quick, easy stuff? It's almost looked down on if you think that's important.
I think we, as a culture, I think we value things that just look impressive. Let me give you an example, not from the world of being a mom. Okay, I'm a preacher. Pretty much everybody that listens to this knows that. I get asked quite often, and I'm gonna be generic in this because I don't want to embarrass anyone who's ever asked me this question or anything. But I have conversations with preachers fairly often, and we'll talk about, you know, how are things going at church, you know, blah blah blah, as you usually talk about. And if the conversation goes very long at all, I am very often asked how many gospel meetings I hold and how many lectureships I speak on. Why does that matter?
No, because are they asking, like, how many days of the week that you serve the local church and do a good job?
I've never been asked, how many hospitals did you visit last week? Or how many funerals have you held in the last 6 months? That stuff doesn't look impressive, society speaking. But, oh, my name is on a brochure and a flyer, or, you know, and yes, I would like to be asked to do meetings and lectureships. I've done several. I enjoy it. But we seem to want to place the emphasis on the stuff that looks more glamorous than just what's quote-unquote normal. Totally off the subject, I know, and I may have done this in the podcast before, but David Leip was one time asked, Dr. David Leip was asked, who's the best preacher in the Brotherhood? Dale Jenkins actually asked him this question. It was when I was doing I Preach all those years ago. Mm-hmm. And David Leip was, I almost say he was offended. He was taken aback by the question. And not in a very mean way at all. But he said as his answer something along the lines of, I don't know his name, but he's a preacher somewhere in Wyoming or Montana that's preached for 20 years at a church for 25 people who love him and he loves them. And he's never been asked to speak on this lectureship or that lectureship and has never held a gospel meeting. And I think when it comes to parenting, mom or dad, like you said, our society puts the glamour on, look how many meals she fixed today and took to the homeless and took pictures of that and put it on. And again, I'm not saying these things are bad at all. Or, you know, we homeschool and, oh, their kids got this scholarship or their kids are making these projects. Great. That's great. It's just as great that mom made supper. Or it's just as great that that kid finally spelled a word that they couldn't spell last week. That's just as great.
Finally, you could move on to maybe the next thing in math. Because that's just as great.
You
worked on it for 2 weeks.
But it's not as glamorous.
I know.
And that's what we struggle with, is we want to look so productive in the glamorous stuff and not just enjoy and be, and I'm saying this word in a accommodative way, be proud of the regular. And that's true across the board. I mean, you go have a surgery done at the hospital. Would it be cool if your doctor had been one that's been asked to speak on all kinds of surgeons' conventions and everything? Yeah, but you know what else is cool? Can you do your surgery and like you? Mm-hmm. And treat you like a you know, not like a customer, but like a patient. That's what matters. And I'm, you know, we feed that with overemphasizing stuff that has more glamour attached to it than just being faithful in the little things that maybe nobody else knows about. I love, again, go back to the preacher, I love preachers. I'm an advocate for preachers, not because I am one, but that's part of it. And I'll be honest, you know, I've been blessed to know a ton of preachers. The main reason, frankly, is for two reasons, because of my dad and also because of being on I Preach those years with Dale Jenkins. There are preachers who could preach circles around me, and I'm not saying this to fish for compliments. I mean who could absolutely preach circles around me, who preach at congregations of 30 and 40 people and make almost no money whatsoever, but they're faithful in what they do. And the people at that little church out in the country love them and they love those people. And they'll never have the glamour of speaking on the Freed Hartman lectures or the polishing the pulpit or the, you know, Memphis School of Preaching lectures or whatever. But are they going to heaven? Yeah. And are they a good preacher? Yeah. And we've got to get back to, whether it's parenting or anything else, being grateful for those who just do the little things with faithfulness and don't worry about the glamour of everything. How's that?
Well, you're right. I just don't know how you get back to that.
Well, it's an individual thing. I mean, it's not a societal change. It's every person deciding, go back to the thing we've been talking about. I'm not going to worry about missing out on everything in the world. I'm going to be faithful in what I can do. And raise my kids, teach my kids, be a good dad, be a good mom. And we're not going to be able to do everything. We're not going to be able to be the best at everything. But we're going to be faithful. And that's all that really matters. It's almost like a legacy of faith. The podcast. What do you think? You're just looking at me now like...
Well, I'm just thinking. I know it's not good podcasting. I'm just thinking.
Let's all pause for a moment and think about what has been said for the last couple of months.
I just feel like, I just wish there was more of a solution than just saying, well, just, you know, think, you know, you have to think. I feel like it, I just wish there was a better answer than just your own personal knowledge that I'm doing the right thing. I don't know. I think.
In other words, you want the glamour.
Well, I think I don't want to look, see what other people get as glamour. And then it's like, I cannot be the only one that struggles with this,
no,
but no one talks about
that's
this.
That's why I just said what I said.
You know, I think we talk about social media a lot, and I feel like I pick on it sometimes, but sometimes that's a problem for me, that you say like, well, you know, look at this, look at that, and then you start feeling like you're a nobody because... You haven't done that and that and that and that and that, you know, and you feel like you're struggling just to do these basics. And I know, like, in my intellect that life is not always as it's portrayed. But, you know, it's just, I don't know, people are just different. And you just feel like even in real life you can see somebody who's, you know, like, had a special, they hold down some kind of job, and you feel like, wow, look at what they're capable of doing. And then, you know, you feel, I mean, I guess it is maybe a prideful thing. Like, you want to feel acknowledged or valuable to your family, to society. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I need to be an advocate for those mothers who kind of are in the lowlights or whatever.
Well, they need it because, like you said, they're
but
not.
But no one ever really talks about that. It's always like, whoa, you know, and even people that people talk about had done something.
So has the mother.
We don't talk about that, though.
That's what we're doing right now.
Well,
we're advocating for moms
and
dads.
We need to. I don't know. I guess it needs to be more of an encouragement to be able to say it's, I think. You know, we're going all the way around the circle, but I think that is a huge factor in this busyness. It's like, look, we're doing something. Okay, whew, now people can see that I'm actually trying to do something. I'm a good mom. I really am. I'm a good mom. And then, you know, what have you really been a good mom by doing all of that? And so I think that might be something that maybe can encourage some people, is that, yes, you can be. You can be a good mom and still not feel like you've done half of what somebody else has done. Even though that just sounds bad just to say it that way. You've only done half of what somebody else has done.
You're a good mom. Before we started recording, we said we were going to spend 8 to 10 minutes on that subject.
This is a huge topic to me.
We're at 28 minutes now. No, it is a big topic.
You can erase it if you want to.
No, it's good. Fine with me, it's good. Let's end on something positive instead of, you know, sitting here talking about how terrible we are.
I didn't say I was terrible. Was it?
That's what you were implying.
No. Just saying I can really feel for, you know, this is the reason you always ask what made you want to share that article. Because that spoke to me because yep. I felt that way before. So.
It's all good. You're a good mom and a great wife.
Well, thank you.
I found out your blood type's A+. You're A+ to me. You've always been A+ to me. We gave blood a couple weeks ago. I'm not A+. All right, let's do something fun for the last couple minutes, okay. Or 30. We said the weather's warming up. Everybody's got spring fever. Everybody, woohoo. As the weather warms up, people like to kind of get out, do little things, little trips and things. And so I thought it'd be kind of fun just for us to share some ideas. None of these are going to be all that original. Of little quick little getaways, maybe evening getaways or weekend getaways that families can take on the cheap. Some simple ideas that families can take as the weather warms up, or some of these can be all year long. Just some things we've done, some things that, you know, some of them are free, some are close to free, that any family can do and just kind of enjoy the weather, enjoy the time. And one of our favorites that we have not done in a while, but we need to do more of when the weather warms up, is going on picnics. Our family enjoys that when we do it. That's just forget fun. To do it.
Mm-hmm.
The kids love it. Why do families like that so much?
Well, who doesn't like a picnic?
Well, you got to get everything ready and load it up and unload it.
It's always fun, though. You know what I like about the picnics that we've done before? That we'll give ourselves permission. We go get those Crush orange sodas in the bottles, the glass bottles.
And I drink like water because I don't do.
Well,
I do.
Then
like
I drink
Sprite.
Your extra.
Yeah, I drink like Sprite.
I drink the because the ones I have bought come in a case of four, I think.
Yeah.
But things like that that you normally wouldn't do, you know, like, oh, those are so much more expensive, you know, than any other kind of drink. So, but I'll get those, and I love drinks in glass bottles.
You know, we don't do picnics a lot, but one thing I have figured out is this has not mattered how old our kids have gotten. They enjoy it.
Mm-hmm,
I think it's one that's kind of timeless. So it's just kind of a classic little, and that can be, doesn't have to be a big thing. That can just be like a Thursday, you know, meet at the park for a picnic. It doesn't be any big fancy, take the whole weekend and go to someplace 2 hours away. It can just be, let's meet tonight at the local playground and have a picnic and let the kids play for an hour. It's free. That's mm-hmm. the best part, except for the glass bottle Crush. They're not free, but that's cool. How about youth rallies? We did that last weekend. That's what made me think of this entire mm-hmm. topic. I wrote an article about this on the website this week.
It was good.
Remember the youth rally.
It's true.
Yeah. These little congregational youth rallies used to be the thing. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's like every church seemed to
I
have
remember.
One.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now there's not as many. But some of these things, well, we went to Dexter, Missouri over the weekend to theirs. And I was talking to one of the elders. And he said he thinks this was either the 39th or 40th that they've had. And there was like 350 people there. So it's not like some of these, well, there's only 30 people at it. And some of these things are still just moseying along and doing great. And I think the reason why I bring it up is I think sometimes we think, you know, the youth minister has to take the youth group of these things. I mean, yes, I want a group from Central to go to Dexter next year. I thought it was kind of fun just for the four of us to go
mm-hmm.
and just enjoy that weekend. Now, we did have a hotel room. We didn't, you know, we didn't do the whole housing thing, but so it was, you know, but that was just kind of neat as a family to do that. So what's to keep your family from finding the, you know, youth rally in your area and just going for one of those all-day Saturday things or Friday night and Saturday thing? And you may have to pay for a hotel or you may not. But I just want to put that on the list as something. It's spiritual, but it's also really fun
mm-hmm.
and really
was.
Good. So I like the one up on the list here. Eat dinner at home and then go out for dessert.
I like that too.
Yeah.
We never do that.
We've done like three times ever. But as a family, I put this on here because going out to eat's expensive.
It is.
It's crazy expensive. Even fast food.
It costs a lot of money.
It's just nuts. So why not take an evening, and especially as the weather warms up, maybe some of those fast food places have a little outdoor, you know, picnic tables or something. Go ahead and eat your home cooked meal so you get your healthy on, you know, and then go get fat. You know, then go get ice cream somewhere. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It doesn't have to be one of the places with the expensive desserts. Just, you know, a fast food place that has some cookies, or, you know, go to some place and share a couple pieces of cake or something. But that one's just one of those things that often we think about, well, we're going to go out to eat. It's going to cost, you know, $30, $40, $50. Dessert's just not that expensive. So I thought that was just kind of fun mm-hmm. to put on the list.
We used to do that more, things like that. You even said ice cream. I remember when the kids were little.
Mm-hmm. Or donuts. I'd take Mary Carol out for a donut every once in a while.
Or ice cream. And even doing the picnic thing. We used to do that more. What happened?
Part of that is when we lived in Nashville, we had picnic tables in our neighborhood. And we would just walk over and eat at them from time to time. That was some of it, was we could literally walk.
And then I guess in Nashville, we would go to like Baskin Robbins and get an ice cream. Yeah,
we had them everywhere.
We had places to do that. And then I think when we were in Alabama, we lived in a smaller town that...
Yeah, we did the picnic thing sometimes. And that
we didn't exactly have as much to do, like much choice.
We did picnics every once in a while there. And sometimes we would spend the money. Sometimes we would just go get something and take it to a park and eat. But sometimes we'd pack sandwiches from the house or whatever.
I think we need to do that more.
We do, when it warms up a little more. But what would you add to the list, if anything? I just wanted to just kind of get the juices flowing, because I'm kind of getting spring fever. And
I am, too.
Just wanted to kind of get some of these ideas of ways to get out of the house and do simple things and don't cost much money. And, you know, we got to go to the theme park. We got to go to the Major League Baseball game. Like, no, you can go to the park and have just as much fun.
Well, if you had a place where you could do, like, putt-putt golf, that's pretty fun.
Yeah. That's not cheap, but it's...
I guess it would depend on
where
place.
It was.
Yeah, you may have a little. Sometimes
if you're in Gatlinburg, it's not going to be cheap.
Right. I mean, but just something.
Golf.
Yeah.
Those things are just fun. They I just are. Wanted to do that for the fun of it. Go out for breakfast.
No, we really never do that. Unless we're
unless
leaving
we're traveling.
On a trip or something.
At Panera.
Yes. I love that. Orange scones
I think,
are so good.
I think if we were to list the top five reasons Leah's happy we live in Paducah, I think number one or two might be Panera.
Might be.
Might be. Somewhere above our house, I think. Yes, you know, yay, we have a Panera. Oh, we have a nice house.
Yeah. I like Panera. It's good.
We do like eating there. Especially, I like breakfast there, which we do before we travel. Anyway.
Yes, I like that.
We've gone 36 minutes and change. Anything else we need to say?
No.
Who's going to win the NCAA tournament?
I don't know.
Just take a shot.
Duke.
That's a good
I'll
guess.
Say Duke. I'll be your best friend.
There you go. That's a good guess. I don't know either. I'm going to take Northern Kentucky. How about that? The Norse.
Sure.
They're not going to win, but they had the best name in the Norse. The Norse. Is that not great?
Mm-hmm.
It's March Madness.
Yes, I know.
As we're recording, the ACC tournament's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording because Duke plays tomorrow night.
Okay.
Why do you think I want to record
now's
on Wednesday?
That's the truth, yes.
That's right. No, it's going to be a great, great tournament. Always look forward to it. I've already been invited to join the Late Night at TLN group, which I won last year, basically by default, because everybody else had Virginia winning a national championship, and Virginia lost in the first round last year, so... I kind of won by default. All right, Leah. We've rambled on enough. You're a good mom.
Thank you.
We plan to be back with you again in a couple of weeks. Thank you for listening very much. Leah, love you.
Love you.
And until next time, remember your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.